You're listening to the 515 Podcast, led by Pastor John Wayne McMahon with Kingwood United Methodist Church in Kingwood, Texas. Thanks for downloading. Hi there, welcome to episode 14 of the 515 Podcast. I'm Jason Priestmeyer here with John Wayne. How are you doing this afternoon, sir?
Doing just great.
That is great. I'm so glad to hear that. A lot of busy stuff going on at this time, but we definitely want to talk about Romans 8:28. Which is a continuation of the Out of Context sermon series that we've been journeying with along with you, which is great. And I know that a lot of people have it on their hearts and their minds about a lot of the suffering that goes on in this world, whether it's global scale or something closely personal to each and every one of us.
Right.
So how... And I've already kind of probably stolen part of your thunder, but how does this scripture relate to suffering?
Yeah, good, good. So let's look at, I'm going to just read a few verses from Romans chapter 8. And very quickly, as I do that, just want to acknowledge the fact that this is going to be a brief discussion, and Romans is very deep and complicated.
Okay.
And so we're only going to be able to look at a little bit of a piece, but at least I hope I can give us a little more context than just one verse. And so Romans 8, verse 18 is actually the start of this section that contains Romans 8:28.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first verse, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, for the creation waits in an eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. And then skip down to Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works to the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So, couple things that we see right off the bat. One, the very first line of this section, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's kind of an introduction sentence. It's going to give us the idea of what's going on. The other thing that I want you to see is that the very next verse talks about us being made children of God. And then the last part of the section, which I just read, also talks about us being made the children of God. And so there's kind of everything in there is kind of gearing towards that. And then I do want to acknowledge an elephant in the room for some of us that may see it. It talks about predestination right at the end of this section. I'm not going to go all the way into that, not because I'm afraid to, but because I think it'll miss the point of what we're trying to do with Romans 8:28. I actually don't think that this is saying what some of the Calvinists believe.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm a free will Methodist, or I believe in an Arminianist understanding, and so I have a different translation, different interpretation for what's going on there. And so, anyways, I'm not ignoring it. I know it's there, and that's kind of what I wanted to point out. So look at this Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So a couple of things I want to point out about this verse in particular. One, this is not something that you should share with someone who's just lost a loved one. Well, God will bring some good out of it. Like I think that that's a difficult thing to say in that moment. Like, it's hard for someone who's just lost someone that's really close for them to hear something like, well, God will make something good out of this. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that's the setting for it. Even if that's maybe what this verse is trying to get at, I don't think that this is the right time to use that verse. And a lot of times, and this is not to make anyone feel bad that's done that before. This is just to acknowledge that death and loss and suffering is very real and very difficult. And a lot of times, the best thing that we can do is listen and be there for someone. And when the time's right, share our faith in the gospel. But at the same time, I do want to say that Romans 8:28, if it refers back to that first one, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We know that there will be good that comes out of our suffering. And so that's what I believe about this verse, but I don't think that's something you lead with someone who's going.
Yeah, this is definitely a perfect example of the Out of Context series, and where we're just scooping up this one sentence and applying it like a Band-Aid on somebody's pain.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make you feel better. Good,
that's,
congrats.
That's exactly right.
You need to really think about it from start to finish. And
think about it for yourself. If you just walk through, put yourself in their shoes,
yeah.
Would this be the Band-Aid that helps at all?
Not going to do it.
Yeah, it wouldn't help. So there's three things that I want to point out about Romans 8:28. One, this verse doesn't mean that we can live any way we want and God will fix it. So it doesn't mean that I can just do whatever I want or I can live however I want and God will work it for the good. Okay, because that we laugh at that one.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty laughable, but the more I consider, there may be some misinterpretations this way. It is for those who love him, okay? And so this verse is not, Paul is not writing to the general public. He is writing for those who love him and those that he has called. And the language of this called is not just a generic, I'm calling you all to be my children. It is the called and the ones who have responded. Mm-hmm. We lose that in translation. And so the ones he's talking about are the ones who love him. He is called and they are acting in accordance with his purposes, that they are trying to live this life out and they're pursuing Christ. And so that's a kicker, right? That it's that group that God is going to work together for all of this to be good. And that's the first thing we need to understand. The second thing is it does not say that all things are good. Okay. Right. It does not say that there's no pain or suffering. Mm-hmm. That's very clear. Please don't ever hear that this is just a figment of our imagination or pain is just something that exists in our mind or like it's only something, it's something that we can get rid of or we can just think positively and move past it. No. Pain happens in all different ways and suffering is part of the broken world that we live in. We know that in the beginning, God created us in a place where we can enjoy him and we could have all that we needed and all that we wanted in that communion. And we know that the final stage, there would be no more pain and suffering, but in between there's a broken world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to acknowledge that. The third thing that Romans 8:28 needs to point out is that 8:29 is the ultimate goal. It's the ultimate good. So when 8:28 says, and know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, comma, who have been called according to his purpose. Now look at verse 29. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And so here's the good of what God's trying to work out.
Okay.
It's so that we will be conformed to be in the image of Jesus. It's so that we will be made more like his son.
Yeah.
And so even when things are bad and we're suffering, the good that God is bringing out of the ashes is to make us more like Jesus.
Okay, yeah,
and so that is something that we really need to hold on to. It is God's plan that we become like his son, not that we just muddle along in a modest respectability. It's God's plan that we look like Jesus. Does that make sense? Does that help a little bit?
I mean, if you stopped reading at 28, you just missed that.
Right,
I'm blown away. I don't have 29 memorized, so I didn't know that was coming.
Right, exactly. Exactly right. And we can shy away from it because it has language that we're... Sure. What does it mean, God's foreknowledge and predestination? Yeah. And what does all that mean? I just really think that the language of that is it's saying that the good that God's working together is to the goal that he predestined from the very beginning. That's for his children to look like Jesus, to be like his son.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's going on in those two verses.
I think it's important that you said it's for his, you know, his followers and the believers that this applies to. But the good news is that anybody can be a follower if they just choose to. So there's still hope for those people who you might have thought, oh, they're being left out of this. They're not.
Exactly right. So I thought just to kind of wrap up our conversation, we would talk about suffering for just a minute because that's essentially what's going on in this verse.
Yeah.
That's where it's starting with Paul. Paul is acknowledging all throughout this chapter that when we don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit is the one that is there for us, interceding and helping us in this life and helping us in prayer. And also what we know that even when that feels like it's not enough and we're walking through difficulty, brokenness, your house burns down, you lose a loved one, you lose a child, whatever that's looking like, what he's saying is that there's still hope. There's still someone with you. The Holy Spirit is still with you, still testifying that there will come a time when God redeems all of this brokenness, redeems all of this mess. But also there's a hope now that I can hold on to, that God's plan has not been forgotten and not been erased. Again, that can sound and feel like a Band-Aid when we're in the middle, when we're in the middle of our circumstances. Mm-hmm. But I still think, in the middle of suffering, there has to be some hope, and this is the hope that I would guide us to. So let me just point out some myths about sufferings.
Okay.
This comes from Carolyn Moore. She's a Methodist pastor. She gives, you can check out the video on YouTube, on Seedbed's channel. She talks about suffering, but let me just run through this a little bit because I think it's a good perspective for us. One of the myths is all suffering is caused by my sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a myth, all right? It's not because I did something wrong yesterday that I have to walk through suffering today. That's essentially karma, right? That's not a good theology. Second myth, all suffering is caused by your sin. So meaning all suffering that I'm going through is caused by someone else's sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's those people that did this to me. It's that happened to that to me. All sin is not created by all other people. That's victim mentality.
Right.
It's important. The reason why I point up that myth, because it's important that we acknowledge that our sin is responsible for some of the difficulties and the problems that we walk through.
Mm-hmm.
The third sin, not all things are a result of sin. Some things just happen. That's a myth.
Yeah.
Okay. We live in a broken world, and I think that all of the suffering and pain is not in God's original design or final design. Mm-hmm. And so this is a problem with the fall. This is the suffering we're walking through is a problem with the fall.
Okay.
With the fall. Another myth, suffering is good, or all suffering is good. That's a myth because God can redeem it and make it good, but let's just be honest, suffering is not intrinsically good, okay? So I want you to know that God, according to this verse, mm-hmm. that God can bring good out of it, but it doesn't mean that the suffering itself is necessarily good. And so I don't want you to ever tell someone who's suffering, this is good for you. You know what I mean? I think as a believer, it's good for us to suffer sometimes, but I'm not going to call the bad, what has happened to us, something that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why I make that distinction. Some people have a theology that would say that God has given you this illness so that you would grow and know him.
Right. We've heard that before.
Yeah. And I don't believe that. Yeah. So that's where this myth comes into play for me.
So maybe it's safe to say that suffering sucks.
Right.
But not that we're suffering because God wants to make us suffer.
Right.
But rather he can make something good
out of it.
That which we're suffering through.
Right.
So that's the, again, that's the kind of the positive takeaway.
Right.
Okay.
The other thing is that the alternative is all suffering is bad. And mm-hmm. so what I mean by this is it is all bad intrinsically, mm-hmm. but it's not all a loss. It's not the end all or be all, because God can bring good out of it. And so that's something we need to understand in the middle of our suffering, that this is not for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is not the end of everything. That God can bring something good out of it. Another myth is that it's all God's fault, like God just allows or creates or does it all. Like, no, we choose these things. We have a part in the sin and brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
My theoretical marriage goes down the crapper.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because God just let it all happen.
Right.
It's because I made decisions along the way. And we live in a broken world and things happen. And so we need to understand our responsibility and some of the suffering and chaos that we go into.
Mm-hmm.
All sufferings is Satan's fault. You know, maybe on some level, if we go all the way back to the fall, but we're again letting go of some of our responsibility in the matter.
Yeah.
If I pray enough, then I won't suffer. Go tell that to persecuted Christians around mm-hmm. the world, or go tell that to Paul, like we just talked about last week, when he's in chains in Rome and on the way to Rome, and he's writing to Philippi. Is it because he just hadn't prayed the right prayer or prayed mm-hmm. enough? I mean, what is it?
Yeah.
That's a myth. Two more. If I suffer, then I must be a great Christian. Some people think suffering is a direct relation to how Christian you are. And I don't think that that's, I think that we're in different situations. We have different walks in our life. And so I don't want you to fall into that myth that the suffering that you're going through means that you're like super Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it could be different. It could be
yeah,
something else.
Don't feel like you're making a martyr of yourself in a good way. Oh,
yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
I've got all this bad stuff happening to me, but hey, I'm a good.
Yeah, it means I'm a good.
I fall apart.
It means
right.
I'm a good Christian.
Yeah, just really.
Yeah. And then the last one is related. All Christians suffer greatly on earth. Well, that's not true either.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, some Christians do a lot. And yes, as Carolyn Moore in the video I referenced talks about, if we are dying daily and we're picking up our cross and following after Jesus, there is some amount of suffering that's going to happen, but there is no direct relationship to how Christian we are or what's going on in that suffering. So that's important to know.
Yeah.
So anyways, I hope that this is just a breach on the topic. We could do a whole series on suffering and pain. I just read a book from C.S. Lewis on the problem of pain. It's a really good book. I think he's missing a little bit from our Methodist theology, but it's a good start if anybody's walking through something like that. It's pretty philosophical, so
yeah.
I just always warn our lay people, not everybody likes to read nerdy books like I do. So
right.
that one's a more difficult one.
Okay.
If you have any, if you want to read on some, I've got some on my shelf, so
okay.
Please feel free to reach out
to you.
Anyway, so just to close, we wanted to just talk about this for just a minute because I don't know exactly who's going to hear what this week. Oh, by the way, we're recording this a week early because I'm going to UM Army next week to be with our high school students and to preach next week. So this Sunday, you'll hear Jim Welch and Scott Dornbush, our new senior pastor, have a conversation.
Last Sunday.
Oh, yeah. excuse me. Last Sunday, you would have heard who knows what from Jim Welch and Scott Dornbush because they're having a discussion about the transition.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about Romans 8:28 and just continued this out of context series.
Yeah, this is good because I think one of the things that this podcast does offer is that chance that, you're giving your sermon on a clock
on Sundays. Right.
So there's other things that you just can't possibly get to. And
This is stuff I would have never put in a sermon.
Yeah.
So it was good for us to have a conversation.
Good. So it's about suffering, and, we don't want people to go through suffering, but we don't want them to go through it alone either. So
back to
the community from last week.
Right. From last week, just knowing that you don't suffer alone, like be in community. One of our first reactions about when we're walking through something like this is to shut down and be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want anybody to fight that urge. Listen, a podcast is still not enough.
Right.
Like, just listen to this in your car or while you're taking a walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not enough. In this season of suffering or difficulty, you need community and need to be around somebody. And know that they can be a mode of grace, an avenue of grace for you as well. And so I just encourage anybody, and know that pastors are always here for you, and we would love to walk alongside, not love to walk alongside, but we would be honored if you would open up to let us walk alongside what's going on. So, anyways, let me just say that I'm praying for anybody that may hear this and may be walking through some difficulty. So thanks, Jason.
That's good. We'll be back here again next week.
Yes, we will.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.